Pastor Mike Eccleston speaking, and I would like to welcome you to Heritage Baptist Church's online audio library. These messages are provided not as a substitute for the assembling of God's people, nor as a substitute for the regular reading of God's Word, but rather as a spiritual supplement for a deeper understanding of His Word. May He add His blessing as you listen. All right, let's take our Bibles, open up to the book of Colossians, chapter 3. Colossians, chapter 3. We'll begin in verse 16, read through verse 24, and have a word of prayer. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. Father, thank you for your word. I am so glad that every time I'm able to preach anything or teach anything or read anything, I know I've got your word right here. And that in fact it is the same thing as you being here speaking to me and to us. There's no doubt about this book. There's doubts about a lot of other books and a lot of revisions and deletions. So we're grateful that you have preserved your word for us. I just pray that we would be obedient to what you would say to us, because we are not the judge of this book. You are the judge of us. And so speak to our hearts tonight. If there's anybody here that's lost, may they see their need for Christ as Savior. Understand they cannot save themselves, and that He in fact came to this earth to die in our place, and He did. He shed His blood to make atonement for all of our sin debt, and He did. And He died and was buried and rose again from the dead. And we are eternally grateful that He offers us a salvation that is by grace through our faith. Speak to any heart here tonight about this issue of salvation, and to every one of us who are saved. For the message is to save people, not to lost people. So speak to our hearts. May your will be accomplished, for we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to draw your attention to two verses. Verse 17, and whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. And then verse 23, and whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. The first one says, doing all that you do, in word or deed, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. All right. In other words, drawing Him into the conversation or the activity, whatever that may be. I think we can even say into the thought, because a lot of times the thought is where the problem originates from. And that if that were to happen, that certainly would change some things, wouldn't it? In us, for sure. The second one saying, doing whatever you do heartily, with your whole person, with your soul. Not just, oh yeah, I agree with you, you know, for the sake of, like it talks about a man pleaser. As if you were doing it to the Lord. As if you really believed that what you're doing in front of men and women was for the Lord. When we read in Ephesians, it talks about the eye service and how there's many people that are men pleasers. They're yes men. And that's just to get promotions, and that's just to be seen and get some acclamation. But listen, we're not to be like that. We're to serve in whatever we do as though we're serving the Lord. And I know that's a stretch in many places that we deal with, but that's what this is saying about. Now, I have a strange verse. You may go back to the book of Joshua. Joshua chapter 9. And I have to refer to this verse more often than not. I don't make a big deal about this. I don't say anything. This is probably the first time I've ever said anything. But I understand myself. And I understand the need in what those two verses are talking about and the absolute failure of me sometimes to hold up my end of the bargain. And so in verse 25, we read, "And now behold, we are in thy hand, as it seemeth good and right unto thee to do, unto us do." Now, I'm taking Joshua as a type of Christ, and the Gibeonites who are making that statement as me as a type of the Gibeonites in that sense, just for that verse. I'm not saying that I'm going to answer that way to a man, but taking the application of that, I know I have to do that. Whatever you say, Lord, whatever you're going to do, then I need to be prepared to do that, even if I don't understand it. And there's a lot I don't understand. But I need to carry out these two commands. And whatsoever you do. I mean, there's just two of those. All right, now there's a third one. Hold your place, go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Verse 31. 1 Corinthians 10:31. "Whether therefore ye eat or drink, or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God." So this one incorporates something else. This one incorporates something that's not said in Colossians, and that's eating and drinking. And then it goes right back to what we were talking about. Whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. What is there that we do that doesn't bring glory to God? Probably a lot of things. So this isn't even the message. But I want you to notice what is sandwiched in between the two wherefores. In verse 17 and verse 23. There are instructions to wives, husbands, children, fathers as a separate instruction, and to servants. And then the reason for the whatsoevers. Verse 24, "Knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ." And so that service includes every one of those instructions. I mean, we tend to think, okay, I'll serve the Lord. Here I come. I come to church and I do this and I take part, and on it goes. It's everything. Everything. There is nothing that whatsoever does not cover. And I'm going to say something about that in a little bit. So this is talking about service. You see what it says? "We are, for ye serve the Lord Christ." All right, that is a statement to the believers at Colossae that he believed that this was not an anomaly. This was the norm. That these were people that served the Lord. Service and reward go together after you're saved. Don't ever try to put them before salvation, because that's impossible. It's just, I mean, if you want to understand the difference between false religion and Christianity, it is grace plus works. And we believe we're saved by grace through faith alone. They believe you got to mix works into the thing to get to that place. It never happened. That's impossible as well. All right, we are to rest assured that in serving the Lord, we will receive reward from the Lord Jesus Christ for the good we have done here on earth as saved people and with the right motives. There's a lot of us that can do good because we're forced to do good, or we seemingly have to do good. And so we'll do that in the presence of somebody. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, I use this because this is important. I would hate for any of us to stand before the Lord and see, and at the judgment seat of Christ, and see our works burned up because the motive was wrong. Look here in verse 11. For other foundations, 1 Corinthians 3:11, can no man lay that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. All right, so we can fool each other. And most times, that's how it works out. You don't know my motive. I don't know your motive. But when we stand before the Lord, the motive will be revealed, won't it? If any man's work abide, which he has built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, for he himself shall be saved, yet so is by fire. So there's a motive involved there. Some people do it to gain fame and attention. We're not in this to gain fame or attention. We're in this to serve the Lord. It doesn't matter who does what or who gets the praise or anything else. If need be, the Lord's going to get it, and it doesn't matter. So all of this, all to His name, not ours. Heartily, with all that we have to offer. Bob was talking about in Sunday school about the woman. She did what she could. All right. What does the Lord ask above that? You do what you can. He knows where you are. He knows what you have. He does knows what you doesn't, what you don't have. He knows the strain you're under, or the blessings that are coming your way. He knows all that. So you do what you can, and what you eat and what you drink, whatsoever, make sure it's to the glory of God. That puts a little different twist to all of this. Now I have a mechanism on my wrist that's a fitness tracker, in addition to being a watch. A lot of people have fitness trackers. Fitness trackers do just that. They track your day. You can program them to do a number of things. Mine is obscene. Mine, if you listen carefully, there'll be a ding somewhere, and there'll be a vibration before that. And this phone will tell me to breathe. The audacity to tell me to breathe. And when I catch it, I tell it to dismiss it. And I'm already breathing. If I wasn't breathing, I'd need to breathe. But they want you to breathe deeply for a minute, and then they measure your heart rate. I can do that without that. All right, so it would be interesting, would it not, to take a day and record your day in writing to all the things that you've done that fit verse 17:23 in 1 Corinthians 10:31. And maybe make it, you know, parallel, double page, and then write all the things in comparison to that you've not done. That it was for you, for your sake, for your reputation. So we're doing, what I'm saying is doing things in His name for Him and to His glory. And could we be trusted to make an honest report? I don't know. I mean, I just thought of that and imagine I'd almost be afraid to do it. I asked somebody to do something once before, and it was really a self-examination of what does God think of you, and what does He see when He sees you? And the person came back a few weeks later and she said, all I did was cry for 3 weeks. Because I didn't like what I saw. Well, praise the Lord. So fix it. You know, do the things that you're supposed to be doing. All right? All of mankind has the ability to choose to serve Satan, to serve selfish desires, to serve the world, or if we're saved, our Savior. Everybody, you know, there's commands here, but you have the choice to obey that or not obey that. You don't obey it, there's a price to pay. You obey it, there's a blessing coming your way, as long as the motive's right. The end of verse 24 says, for ye serve the Lord Christ. You and I are supposed to be included in that phrase. The ye should be you and me. We should not be one or two or ten of us as opposed to how many people are here. It should be all of us. It's assumed. Servants were bond servants. They were bond slaves, basically, to Jesus Christ. And I have a short list of what it means to be a servant of the Lord. The first thing, go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, is realize that it speaks of possession. We talk today about demon possession. And that a demon can influence you. He can harass you. And the worst thing, of course, is that he could possess you if you're lost. But we're not talking about that kind of thing. We're talking about possession as a believer. And we have to understand that we have possession here. Verse 19. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God? And then these words, and ye are not your own. He's saying, you don't understand. You're no longer who you used to be. When you were lost, you were in control. As a matter of fact, that's all you were. Everything you were was you in control. As a saved person, you're no longer your own. Verse 20, for ye are bought with a price. What is that price? The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. All right, we've been saved out of the slave market of sin. Before we were saved, we could do nothing but sin. And we couldn't change it. And the Lord saved us when we trusted Christ as Savior through His blood. He bought us. We are no longer our own. We belong to Him through salvation. Very important that we understand that. We still, to this day, people that wrestle with this, they think that salvation is a ticket to heaven. That's it. And they are free to do whatever they want. Well, what about the consequences of that action? Oh, well, God doesn't care. Well, then you don't know the Bible at all, do you? Doesn't it say whatsoever we sow that we're going to reap? If we're going to go out and sin after we're saved, don't you think the Lord will hold us accountable to that? Absolutely. So we belong. We have to understand that we are no longer our own. We're talking to a group of people that are brothers and sisters in Christ, for the most part, I hope. And none of us are supposed to be the one that is in control and have the final say. The Lord should. The Lord should direct our goings and guide us all the way and have the final say when it's all said and done. That's what this is speaking about. For we serve the Lord Christ. Number two, it speaks of purpose. We have to understand that the slave lived to serve his master. He didn't have life. I mean, we're dealing with a human issue there, but he did not have life if he didn't serve his master. What life do we have if we don't serve the Lord? A miserable life. A life filled with judgment and punishment and scourging and correction. And we don't want that. The slave did not live for himself. He was bound to the will of his master. Are you bound to God's will? That's what a servant is. He's bound to God's will, whatever that may be. Does it change from time to time? There's 100 things, I think, or more in every day that deals with God's will in things. And we'll go back to the thoughts. What about your thought life? Is God the master of your thought? Have you brought every thought into obedience to Christ? And that's something that we constantly should be aware of. In Romans chapter 12, verse 1, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. And he goes on. And he said, it's reasonable for us to do this. This is what servants do. We're not a dead sacrifice, we're a living sacrifice. If we have the right spirit about this, we're not trying to magnify our own rights and our own will and our own way, but the Lord's. What He wants, what He says. Not to shove that down your throat or anybody else's throat, but because this is what it is. Number 3, it speaks of plans. Luke chapter 22. Our Lord is in the garden. It is the night before the crucifixion and the trials, the arrest, the whole 9 yards of all of that. And in chapter 22, he's in the Garden of Gethsemane and he's praying. Verse 41, and he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast and kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. I don't know if you can appreciate ever in this life, or that I can appreciate in this life, that statement and what he was going through. And as you read on, the intensity was so great that he sweat, as it were, great drops of blood. And yet he committed himself to God's will, not his. Who has the right? Who has the authority to make plans for our lives? Jesus Christ does. God's word. God alone has the right to do that, and the authority, if we're listening. God is satisfied with one thing: surrender to His plans for us. Don't fight that. Don't forsake that. Don't forget that these plans that He has for us. Sometimes it takes a long time for us to get a hold of it, and then, you know, it happens. I wish that the Lord would have said, after I graduated from Bible college, I didn't know what the Lord wanted me to do. I didn't know exactly where He wanted me to go. And then something came up with the state of Montana, and there was just an impression that I should go there. And so I made a phone call from the Chamber of Commerce and got some information. And the last thing the girl said to me was, We need some good churches in Montana. But to me, that was like a call, the Macedonian call. If, you know, we got there and we faced an obstacle right away, and yet if we got there in the middle of October, by December 31st, we had our first church service. The Lord did all that. I didn't do that. I didn't manufacture that. There are some people that are so plan-oriented that they could have put all that together and done it on their own, in their own behalf. Not me. I just trust, all right, you want me here? You're going to do what's necessary to keep me here. And you're going to put me in touch with the right people. And that's how it happened. And it's been happening ever since. All right, the fourth thing is realize that it speaks about position. Ye serve. Present tense. Ye serve because you belong to Him through faith in Christ. There's no other reason to serve. We shall receive reward because you serve. Somebody said to me one time, why don't you ask for more volunteers? And I said, well, I hope that's not a flaw with me, but I believe the Lord should work on people's hearts to do the things that we need within our local church. I just do. There's some things I do, but most of it I don't. I just leave that up to the Lord. And so we could lack at certain times, but there again, I want people to be impressed from God that this is what I should do. Does he make any mistakes? Curtis Hudson told the story about the Cornish miner, Billy Bray. Billy Bray was a kind of a free spirit, a believer, and kind of unique in and of himself. And that one day he was on a ladder painting the side of his house. And a man came up to him and said, Billy, Lord sent me with a suit of clothes here, and where do you want? Why don't you come on down and try them on? And he just turned and he looked and he says, you said the Lord sent you? He said, yes. He says, he knows my side. Just leave him there. That's how we should act. I mean, if the Lord sent somebody, then certainly they're the right person, yes? They're not the wrong person. We shall receive a reward. What a honorable thing it is to be God's servant. I can't imagine it. To serve the true and living God. And all of us are on equal footing. There's not one above the other. We all serve the Lord Christ. The responsibilities and the privileges that come with that are out of this world. Yes, and sometimes they're hard. And sometimes they're difficult. But listen, if we can keep these three things in mind, do all heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. Do all you can in His name. Any place you go, anything you do, can you take Him? Would He be ashamed? The Holy Spirit indwells us, yes. Would He be ashamed at what you're listening to, what you're watching, what you're doing? Would He convict you if you're not doing it? The things that you should? Do you feel that at all? And if you can't take Him to these places, then we shouldn't be doing these things. And then the third one, including eating and including drinking, let's do all to the glory of God. That He gets the honor, that He gets the glory, that He gets the credit. Because this is what this is about. If you want the credit, you'll get the credit. You hear this from time to time. People come, they'll visit, we'll have a special. And this is an isolated thing, but it's just along with what I'm talking about. And after it's through, then people start clapping. Now, do you understand that's their reward? You just gave them their reward. And in many places, that's expected. And these people are getting their reward. And they're thinking, you know, wow, I'm pretty good. And after a while, you do it for that. You know, this isn't being done to the Lord. This is so you can get the credit. People can say these amazing things about how talented you are. And how good you are, and what you're doing. I like to give credit to where credit's due, but I understand that I'm doing that in such a way is that I don't want them to think more highly of themselves than they ought to. I don't want to think more highly of myself than I ought to. And everything that's taking place, ask me how can I take a a difficult concept and phrase it to you in such a way that it is understood simply. I cannot tell you because I didn't do it. And I am no different than you. The Lord gives me the ability to do it. He works through me, just like He would work through you if you would put yourself in that position and not criticize because somebody else is doing it. So, we're servants. Like it or not, we're good servants or bad servants. We're faithful servants or we're unfaithful servants. But we're all servants. And realize, if we're going to be true to the Lord's name and give Him the honor that He's due, then we need to do all that we can. Are we going to fail? Of course we're going to fail. I don't know that we can do this absolutely in this life. But that's not an excuse not to try. And you make that endeavor, and sure enough, the obstacles will come right in your face. And if you can remember these things, whatsoever ye do, whatsoever ye do, whatsoever ye do, and put them to use, then everything can be done to the glory of God in the home, wives, husbands, fathers, children, in the workplace, servants, and in the church, servants. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your goodness, your graciousness, your long suffering toward us. Thank you for the honor to be called by your name and to bestow upon us the ability to serve Christ. There is no one comparable to Him. And if we understand our service completely, should we be in the environment that the world is coming to sooner than later, we should be willing, even happy, to suffer persecution for His name's sake. Because look at what He has done for us. Look at what He gave for us. We can't ever match that. Yet this is the honor above all honors, being able to serve Him in whatever capacity we are in, wherever we are, day or night. I pray that you'd speak to our hearts here tonight, as your will might be accomplished in us. It's good that we're here. What are we going to do when we leave here? And how is it going to be? And how are we going to explain that when we stand before you and give an account? I pray that none of our works would get burned up. But to do that, we have to have the right motive. Speak to our heart in this invitation. May your will be accomplished as always. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. This is Pastor Eccleston again. I trust that the preceding message was a spiritual blessing to you. If God has spoken to your heart, I encourage you to respond in whatever area He is leading. You know, there's no more important issue than your relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. If you sense your need to trust Him as your personal Savior, He will save you if you receive the Lord Jesus Christ by faith in His finished work to pay the full debt of your sin. Please call us or write us or email us in this most important matter or any other spiritual matter. Hebrews 11:6 says, "But without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him." Are you seeking the Lord? I truly hope so.